Welcome to Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. My name is Brandi Gilmore, and after recovering from my own life-changing injury, it's become my mission to share with others the same discoveries I made that changed my health and my entire life. Our minds are truly incredible. The placebo is proof of this. Each week, I will take this simple awareness to a whole new level. I will even coach live callers to free themselves of physical pain using only their mind. And then I'll provide you with a combination of practical and spiritual insights that you can use to master your mind, your emotions, and your energy to help you heal your health, yourself, and your life. Let's begin. Hello and welcome. It is so wonderful to connect with you. I just love that you're somebody who is here, who's continuing to look outside of the box for answers, continuing to expand your mind and your consciousness. And I love it so much. And I also really love today's episode because it does a really great job at showing you that you really need to use your mind in a different way than most people think to be able to get real, tangible results. And you'll be able to see that in this episode really clearly. So I love that. And the reason being is because a lot of times people will see me working with somebody to get incredible results, you know, release pain in minutes using only their mind, or bring back eyesight, or get paralyzed body parts to move again. I mean, just all kinds of incredible things. And they'll mistakenly think that the only reason that I'm able to do this is because I can feel what other people feel. And of course, that is an important piece. But I've heard people say before, I just want to channel information and heal others. But that's not what it is that I'm doing. You know, when you stop and think about it for a moment, of course, what I'm doing is I'm coaching people to use their own mind. You know, all of our minds are really amazing. And even as far as like getting information or channeling information or feeling energy or intuition, whatever you want to call it, deep inside, we all really have that ability. We just have to understand how to use our minds and work with them and develop the skill to be able to do that. But we all have that ability. But again, it takes more than that. And it really takes working with the mind in a different way to be able to get the results. And again, that's what you'll be able to see on this episode, and which is one of the reasons that I really just love it. And I mean, that's ultimately what I did to heal myself, is I understood the mind in a very different way. And that was key. You know, if you think about it, you know, going through my injury, I was injured almost 7 years. Much of that time I spent in bed in extreme pain, surrounded by books, just trying to figure it out, you know, surrounded by like anatomy books and physics and neuroscience and all of these things, trying to, of course, not do what they were doing, but figure out what was missing and what I needed to do differently. Because I came to this conclusion as I was researching that if the answers were in the books, that one of my doctors would have been doing it already. And so that was my mindset, was, okay, what's not in there that needs to be on there? And that was really powerful for me. And, you know, part of what was really helpful was studying physics and understanding that, and even just looking at Einstein's work and then looking how it related to health. And, you know, just there was a lot of different things that I built on to be able to get the understanding that I have now. And that's really what helped me to be able to get the results that I got in my life. So I didn't have this ability to feel what other people feel, or feel energy, or whatever you want to call it. Again, I like to call it universal Wi-Fi. It's like internet that we can tap into. So whatever you want to call it. But it was really ultimately about working with the mind in a different way, because I was so results-oriented. And so that's what I did to really get different results is I started looking at the mind in a different way. It wasn't just meditation and affirmations and things like that. It didn't work. And that's part of what actually drove me to figure out what I needed to do that was different. And, you know, if you've heard my story before, then you've probably heard me say that I worked in network engineering and operations prior to my injury. And a lot of people wonder, you know, what exactly is that? But if we just call it, you know, telecommunications. So I worked on networks in telecommunications. And let's say something would break and a customer would call in and say, okay, this is broken or that's broken. And my goal was to then just get that part of the network back up. And I'm simplifying it. I had a very large customer. So my customer billed something like $18 million a month. So it was a very, very large network of all kinds of things. But very simply, when it went down, my job was to figure out why it was broken and get it up and working as fast as possible. And what was interesting about that is we have something called an MTTR of 4, which is mean time to repair. So basically, I was supposed to have everything up within 4 hours. Now, what's interesting about that is I spent more than 4 years, at least, meditating, doing affirmations, positive thinking, all of that stuff, and it didn't work. And so, you know, when you stop and think about it for a moment, I was so programmed with network engineering to, when there was a problem, to identify it, fix it, get it back up, and do it very quickly. That was my whole programming, was hurry up and get it up very quickly. And so when you stop and think about it for a moment, the fact that I was meditating for years and years and years and not getting the results, of course, that's what made my mind go, wait a second here, I really need to figure out how to get results really fast. And if you've listened to past episodes, then you can probably see why it is that how I work and do what I do is because I have that programming of how do I get results really fast and help people to do that. And so either way, you know, if you want to hear more about my story and coming out with everything with working with the mind and all of that, there's more of that in episode number 9, I believe it is. And so either way, my point is simply that the brain works different than people think it does. And that's the reason that I'm able to help get actual results in working with people in this way. And so that's what you want to notice in this episode, because really the mind is hard to work with for two primary reasons. And number one is because a lot of things are subconscious for us. So they're in our subconscious mind, which makes it a little bit challenging to work with. Okay. So there's that. Number two is because there's so much misinformation on how to work with the mind to get results that it then makes it confusing because the information isn't accurate. And so again, in this episode, you'll be able to see that really clearly. And you're also going to love today's volunteer. Her name is Jamie, and she is such a sweetheart. You're just going to love her. She's got great self-awareness and a really fun personality. And so that said, let's go ahead and dive in with Jamie. Hi.
Hi.
It's wonderful to connect with you.
It's wonderful to connect with you too.
Why, thank you. Happy, wonderful day. And what's going on with your day? How's your day going?
You know, today hasn't been the greatest. And I probably should just let you know that I'm really nervous. Sometimes just saying it out loud will help me to calm down, but I'm kind of nervous, but excited too. So.
Gotcha. You're nervous to be here with me right now?
Yeah, it's a little out of my comfort zone, but.
I get it. Have they warned you that I'm pretty scary?
I know you're not scary. I've been listening to all of your stuff, so I feel like you just seem so sweet. So I think I'll be okay. I'm just a little nervous.
Totally. I get it. So I'm going to ask you to breathe.
Okay.
And thank God I'm not scary, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And bingo. And by the way, what was your favorite episode that you've listened to so far?
Oh my gosh. I've liked so many of them. The one that I really liked was the lady that had that rocking on the boat sensation with the, I think she had Meniere's.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I have dizziness. So that one kind of spoke to me.
Gotcha. I get it. And she was so sweet, wasn't she?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Just sweetheart. And, bingo. All right. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And so you have some dizziness. And what else do you have going on?
So the main things, I have several, but I've had neck and like upper back tension for, it's probably been about like 5 years now. And I've had dizziness, but it's not spinning. It's more just feeling kind of like I'm swaying or rocking on a boat. And it's mild. Like I can drive, I can, you know, still walk around and do things, but it's enough that it just almost causes me anxiety, like all the time from it. It just kind of freaks me out. And I've had that for 4 years. I actually got, I think it was a sinus infection, and I was on a vacation, and I didn't go to the doctor or anything. And afterwards, like as I was getting better, I just was left with this kind of dizziness feeling that has just kind of come and gone. And I also have ringing in that ear. So I've wondered if I've damaged the nerves in there or what. I have some stomach issues, histamine stuff. So if I eat certain foods, I break out in like rashes and will get headaches. And I also have just a lot of anxiety. And the anxiety has been there for probably about, I'd say 6 or 7 years, where it's been kind of more severe.
Okay. All right. And that all sounds like a lot of fun. Not?
Yeah.
Not?
No.
So let's look at that. All right. So I'm going to ask you to breathe for a moment. All right. So let's go ahead and pause it just for a really quick but very important insight. You know, notice she just went through a whole laundry list of all kinds of things she has going on. And the way I responded was a bit silly or playful, if you will, where I said, oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. Not. Now, there's a reason that I did that. If I had responded differently, even saying something like, oh my God, I'm sorry to hear that, depending upon how her mind took it in, it could actually reinforce or affirm or put more layers of thought patterns on top of the information in her mind. And so what would happen ultimately is chances are it would be a lot harder to get the results during this one session. And so that's the reason that I'll answer a bit playful or silly or something like that is for that reason, is because I want to help the person to get real results and to create that shift. Now, part of the reason that I really want to emphasize this is because I have seen people who have started studying the mind, where they're doing Reiki and all kinds of things, trying to figure out healing and playing with chakras and different things like that. And they stop taking their health as seriously as they should because they're trying to just do self-healing. And to give you an example, you know, after I got better and I really worked on helping people to get rapid results so they could exceed them, you know, and doing it under thermal medical equipment, all of that, I started speaking in front of large live audiences, even online. And some of my talks afterwards, people could sign up to work with me one-on-one. And there was one time I got this woman who had signed up. And so I met with her over Zoom. And when we connected, I said, okay, you know, what can I help you with? And she had diabetes so bad. I mean, her blood sugar was literally like off the charts. And she had been this way for a while. And she was like nauseous and shortness of breath and couldn't feel her legs. Her legs, I mean, just it was not good. And couldn't move her legs. Her legs were paralyzed. I mean, just had neuropathy on both sides. I mean, it was not good. And her blood sugar was just off the charts. And I told her that I wouldn't work with her until she was seen by a doctor and made sure that her blood sugar was at a level, you know, got some insulin, whatever, did whatever she needed to get her blood sugar down. And then I'd be happy to work with her because she was in such a bad state. I mean, you can't neglect your health at that level. Of course, I'm all about self-healing, and that's really ultimately, to me, the real healing, when it actually stays gone and you really heal something, you do it from the inside. But that doesn't mean neglect everything and pretend like it's not happening. I mean, she was, I can't even emphasize how bad of a state that she was in, just disoriented and yet wanting to heal herself and not go to the hospital. I mean, it was just not a good situation. And I've seen some other people do things as well, not as bad as that situation, but some other things as well. And just my point being, when I circle back to the main point of this, is just simply that when I'm being playful and saying, oh, that doesn't sound fun, it's not that I'm not taking her health seriously. It's that I'm not wanting to reinforce any type of pattern because I won't get the results. And you always want to take your health seriously. So just wanted to make a note of that. And let's go ahead and dive into creating this radical shift with Jamie. Here we go. Bingo. I'm going to ask you to breathe. And bingo. And as far as, I just want to make sure I'm facing, I see which way you're facing. And so the ringing that you mentioned, that's in your right ear. Is that correct? Or is that your left?
My left ear.
It's your left. Okay. So you're facing the other way. Okay. So give me 1 second. Okay. That. Okay. So give me 1 second. Bingo. All right. And as far as the level in your neck and in your shoulders, what's the level in your neck and your shoulders?
So right now, today it hasn't been super bad. I went to the chiropractor yesterday and I had dry needling done. But if I move, like I'll kind of move, I get like creaking and kind of some pain just all down the sides. So it's probably, I would say like a 3 today.
Okay. And if you move, what level does it go up to?
I'd say it's like a 3 when I'm moving. When I'm just sitting here, it's like probably more like a 2, and I kind of feel it. Like I actually have it kind of going up into my temples right now on my right side. I have kind of a little bit of a tension headache.
Bingo. Gotcha. Okay. Bingo. Okay. So your energy out of everything you said. Okay. So let's do this. If I ask you how much you can find the feeling of feeling not good enough, how much can you find that feeling?
10. Mm-hmm. Above 10.
Above 10. Yeah. Like off the charts.
Okay, it's very, very high. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Literally, as you were naming everything, your body is like blocking me from everything as saying, this is what you need to address. This is specifically what it is you need to address before anything else. Okay. And so I'm going to ask you to breathe. Okay. And I'm going to ask you, how do you know that you're not good enough? Like, what proof do you have?
Probably just what my brain is telling me, but I don't know if I have like proof.
Okay.
My brain is telling me I'm not good enough though.
Who is?
My brain.
Okay. Your brain is. Okay. And what is that famous quote? You've heard that quote before. Don't believe everything you think.
Probably.
So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Bingo. And bingo. And if I ask you, you've listened to the past episodes where somebody believed something really strong. Like even if you think about that, did you listen to the woman who had like her eyesight was like everything was really blurry and she got her eyesight clear again? Did you listen to that one?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And how much it took for her to really be willing to shift her way of thinking, right?
Yes.
Okay. Can you see that in every single one of them, somebody has had to change something and they've had to really, really change it. Something that they strongly believed, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. Right. So I'm going to ask you to breathe for a moment. And I'm going to say, you, dear, don't have to change anything at all. You're correct in your thinking. Does that sound right? Or is it maybe you have to change something too?
I need to change stuff.
You need to change stuff too. Great, great. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And so I want you to think about what your brain is telling you that you're not good enough. And how long you felt that way. And I'm going to ask you to breathe for a moment. I'm going to ask you to breathe. Bingo. Bingo. Okay, give me 1 second, because if I ask you what the level of ringing is in your left ear, what's your level in your ear?
Right now it's like a 5 because I'm really anxious.
Yeah, it's going up. It's there's a part of you that feels like it's not safe to hear what I have to say. So give me 1 second. Give me 1 sec. All right, so let's go ahead and pause it just for a really quick insight. You know, first and foremost, you'll want to notice that I was actually asking her to bring in the feeling that she was good enough. And as she did, the ringing in her ear went up, not down. Now, that's profound for a few reasons, really. I mean, first and foremost, you'll hear all the time from people that all you got to do is think positive and you're going to heal. Well, that's not the case, okay? So that's not the case, number one. Number two, you'll hear from people all the time that with healing, that there's always some type of trauma connected to it. And the truth of it is that it's not typically just a trauma that occurred. That's rare to find just a single trauma that occurred. It actually has to do with emotional patterns coming together. And so basically my point being is that what you'll want to notice is this isn't logical in the way that people are thinking the brain works. And you'll hear a lot of misinformation about just positive thinking or just bringing in the positive is healing or that there's a trauma or different things like that. But that's not the case. And of course, the brain is not always logical as people would think it is. It's got its different type of logic. And better stated would be to say that the brain has a different type of logic than most people are used to. And because of the wrong information, it makes it harder to understand, but it's different than most people would think that it is. And so that's where we're going with Jamie. We're going to look at what it is to start really creating this shift, not just with the ringing in her ears and also with the pain in her neck, but also with the feeling of feeling not good enough and what it is there to create that shift. So that's where we're headed. Let's go ahead and dive back in with Jamie. All right, if I ask you, can you see how in the past, like the past episodes, how helpful the information was for each person?
Yes.
Like life-changing if they just take the information, embody it, it's life-changing, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Great. So is it safe for you to receive this information?
Yes. I logically, I'm like, yes, I
great, 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 everything. Great, great. So stay there real quick.
Okay.
So we're going to stay with logically, because what we need to do is we need to have logically, and then we need to take logically and then embody that.
Okay.
So instead of going to what was the other part of that, we're just going to go with the logically yes. So we're going to stay with the logically yes.
Okay.
Great. So I'm going to ask you just for a moment to breathe. And is it safe for you to hear and take in the information that I'm going to share with you, knowing that every single person that comes on, they've got some helpful information that can help them to have a better life, better health, all of that. So is it safe for you?
Yes, I trust you.
Great. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And I'm going to ask you again, is it safe for you?
Yes.
Right? Heck yeah. Of course it is.
Yes.
Great. Yes. Take that in. Embody that. Bingo. Great. And the level of ringing in your ear, what's your level?
It's like a 4.
Okay. It's like a 4. It's right. Bingo. Bingo. So that was right there. Great awareness, about a 3.8. So 4. Bingo. Give me 1 sec. Bingo. That. Okay. Give me 1 second. Okay. So there's a strong feeling of feeling like you don't deserve to be good enough. Can you see that?
That's an interesting wording, like way of wording it. But I think, yeah, like I know there is something in there, because I've been asking myself this, like, why do I always feel guilty all the time? And I think that's
bingo. Wait, yes. You just hit it right on there. The guilt feeling. Boom.
Always right guilty. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So which is keeping you from deserving to feel good enough. So I'm going to ask you to breathe.
Okay.
Bingo. And do you have kids or are you ever planning on having kids?
I have two kids.
Okay. Won't it feel great if they feel guilty their whole lives?
I mean, so amazing, right? No, I don't want that.
No?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you to breathe. But you'd want that for their mom, right?
No. No, I don't want to live this way.
Great. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Give me 1 second. This one leads to another one also. 1 sec. That. Bingo.
Okay, and I'm getting some pain in my upper neck right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So bingo. And what's your level of pain?
It's kind of pulsing and it's like a, because now I'm not moving and it's like a 3.
Okay.
And it's in my my left shoulder too.
Great. Do you know why I said great?
Why is that?
Because the guilt that you regularly experience on a day-to-day basis, as soon as you recall the guilt that you're regularly feeling, your pain came back. So now you can see that part of your ailment of what's going on with your neck is related to the guilt. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And of course, not good that you have pain. So let's bring that back down.
Okay.
Okay. Bingo. Bingo. Give me 1 second because bingo. Yes. Okay. So I'm going to ask you a ridiculous question. Okay. And I'm going to ask you, why do you feel like you're a good person if you feel guilty?
I know there's probably things that I do that people would say makes me a good person.
No, but why does guilt, why do you feel like if I said, oh, I'm a good person because I feel guilty?
Oh, you know, this is so weird that we're talking about this because I just had this talk with my friend, but I feel like the guilt makes me try to be better.
Okay. There you go. Okay. Totally. So this is what I think. Your two kids, let's give them a ton of guilt so they can be better people.
No.
Well, wouldn't it help them become better though?
I don't want them to become better because of that.
Wait. Now, how many people do you think become a better person because of guilt?
I don't know. I mean, do people...
Let me help you.
Okay.
Nobody.
Okay.
People become a better person because they want to be a better person. People become a better person because they're programmed to be a better person or because they want a specific outcome. Nobody becomes a better person because of guilt. Okay. They become a guilty person because of guilt.
Okay. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Bingo. And by the way, if I ask you how long you've had this pattern of feeling guilt, how long would you say that is?
As far back as I can remember.
Okay. So which means that you should be the best freaking person in the world, right?
It doesn't work that way, I guess.
No, if it works, I mean, hey, you should be freaking amazing. Not to say you're not, but I mean, better, as much guilt as you felt. God, we should start calling you God now.
You're perfect at this point, right?
Yeah. Great. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And I want you to see it doesn't work.
I can see that.
So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And by the way, how happy do you think your kids would feel if they were feeling guilty all the time?
Not happy. It doesn't make you happy.
It doesn't. Doesn't make you happy. So it doesn't work either, right?
No.
Great. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Bingo. And again, I wanted to remind you that even in past episodes, when I've worked with somebody who's had a certain belief and you've thought, wait a second, how do they even believe that or whatever? And you've thought that, how are they thinking that? You know, and just for a moment, realize this is what's in your thinking that you want to shift, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And can you see how it hasn't worked and you should probably try a different way to feel like an amazing person and happy, right?
Yes, definitely.
Great. Now, also, if you think about it for a moment, how much do your thoughts help create your life?
Completely. I mean, I believe everything I'm thinking is creating my life.
Awesome. So guilt is doing what exactly to make you a better person?
Nothing.
So if you think about that for a moment, if I'm like, yes, my thoughts help create my life, and so I put a lot of hate in them, you're like, Brandy, are you hearing yourself? Right? So I'm like, my thoughts help create my life. I'm putting a ton of guilt in them because that's going to make me a better life.
No.
Yeah, Brandy, are you hearing what you're saying? Right? Okay. I'm going to ask you to breathe. Bingo. And I'm going to ask you, are you willing? Good. There we go. Great. Are you willing to let go of guilt completely?
Yes.
Great. I'm going to ask you to breathe. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Level in your neck. What's your level right now? 0 to 10?
It's probably back down to like a 2 when I move it. Just kind of tension.
And sitting still, what's your level?
I don't really feel it right now. Right. I just have this.
So what you want to notice, just watch. Okay, so notice, and of course, we're going to inch by inch. We're working different pieces here, but notice the sharp pain that came back up in is gone now.
Okay, yes.
So that's great. Yes. And the initial 3 that was there has gone to a 2.
Yes.
Which is great. Okay, so progress. Okay. So what do you think about guilt? Should you keep it moving forward? You think you should get rid of it?
Get rid of it.
Okay, great. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Bingo. Bingo. And if I ask you your level of ringing in your ear, what's your level?
Maybe like a 2.
That's exactly what I have. Like a 2, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Good, good. Okay. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Bingo. That. Bingo. I'm going to ask you to breathe. And give me 1 second. That. Bingo. Bingo. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to breathe, and I'm going to ask you to notice the part of you who has spent so long feeling guilty because you felt like it was going to make you a better person, but then also felt like you didn't deserve a great life because you felt guilty and like a bad person.
I know, it's horrible, right?
And now you're just judging.
I know that I'm doing so well.
Wait, I'm playing. We got to laugh. Laugh, relax. Because sometimes you just got to, I can't tell you how many of my belief systems and thoughts going over the years, I was like, oh, okay, that's funny. And that makes no sense at all. And you just got to laugh. Okay, so there we go. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Bingo. And I got to tell you, I have not met a single person whose mind makes complete sense, is all aligned and everything. I mean, just, yeah. So welcome to the club, right?
Okay. Yeah. Part of being human.
Yep. And part of being awakened and looking at things, laughing and going, okay, let me straighten this out. Right?
Exactly. Yes.
Totally. All right. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And I'm going to ask you, do you deserve a great life?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Great. Take that in. Bingo. You do deserve a great life. Absolutely. Absolutely. Take that in. Absolutely. Okay. And the fact that you've had this pattern of guilt running since about the age of 2 hasn't been helpful to convince your brain that you deserve a great life. But
no. No.
Okay. At the ripe old age of 2, you know, if you think about it, how old are your kids?
5 and 8.
Okay. So imagine for a moment if the 8-year-old picture like created a pattern of guilt at age 2.
That's sad.
It's sad, right?
That'd be horrible.
Right. And if you think about your 2-year-old self creating that pattern and then you believing in that pattern, you see how silly that is, right?
Absolutely.
Great. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And I'm going to ask your 2-year-old self to bring in the awareness that you deserve a great life. And I'm going to ask your today self to bring in the awareness that you deserve a great life. Bingo. And if I ask you, does your 8-year-old deserve a great life?
Yes. Yes.
How much? 0 to 10.
100%.
100%. I like it. Not 10, 100.
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah, spot on. Spot on. And the 5-year-old? Yeah, like a 2.
100%.
There we go. And their mom?
100%.
Right. I'm going to ask you to bring it in. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I'm going to ask you to bring that in. Good, good, good. Good, good, good. Bingo. Great. Level in your ears, 0 to 10.
Like a 1.5.
Good, good, good. And your neck, when you move it, what's your level?
A one and a half, maybe.
Okay. And can you move it again? I just want to see. Okay. Bingo. All right.
I have a pretty intense buzzing right now in my hands and my face. And it might just be, you know, maybe energy, but like I'm feeling a little lightheaded. I don't know if you can feel that, but just this kind of intense buzzing.
Give me 1 second. That. Bingo. Okay. So I feel you. Bingo. Okay, so I want you to notice the part of you that feels like you really actually don't deserve. Can you see that part?
Yeah.
Okay, and bingo. And so I want you to notice how invested you are in that thought.
I don't want to be. I don't want to think that way.
Okay, and by the way, your 8-year-old has never made a mistake before, right?
That's funny. No, never.
Never. Not once. Okay. But wait a second. But your 8-year-old still deserves a great life?
Yes. 100%.
Okay. Because they've never made a mistake. Your 8-year-old's never made a mistake before, right?
No.
Okay. So let me ask you. Have you ever made a mistake?
Tons of them.
Okay. I personally have never made a single mistake. Okay. So I'm going to ask you to breathe for a moment. No, that's BS. Okay. And bingo. All right. So let's go ahead and pause it just for a few really quick insights. You know, first and foremost, I hope that you picked up on the playful silliness that I had when I said that I had never, ever made any mistakes. And likely you picked up that I wasn't being serious, but I know that there are over 70 countries here, and sarcasm doesn't always translate with English as a second language. And so I just want to be clear, yes, I have definitely made mistakes. The reality of it is that we've all made mistakes in the past. And unfortunately, a lot of people will hang on to those mistakes and feel like they don't deserve to have a great life, or they don't deserve to live fully, or whatever that is. And so if this is something that is impacting you, you'll want to make sure to really bring in the feeling that you do deserve a great life. You know, we all do. We've all made mistakes, yes, and we all deserve a great life. However, if you are somebody who is currently still engaged in the mistake, where you're continuing to make it and continuing to make it, you'll of course want to change that, because that can block you from really feeling deserving to change your life, to live more fully, to be happy, to heal yourself. It can block you from all kinds of things. And so you'll really want to change that. And of course, you know, in Jamie's situation, there's more to it, because there's also the pattern of guilt. And so there's some other things going on that are creating this feeling of not deserving. And that's what we're going to continue to work with. But I just wanted to note that if this is a problem for you, you'll definitely want to work on bringing in those feelings of deserving. All right. So that said, let's go ahead and dive back in with Jamie. And just for a moment, bingo, I'm going to ask you to bring in the awareness that, yes, you've made a mistake. Newsflash, everybody has, even your 8-year-old, even your 5-year-old made some type of mistake, something or other. Okay, so bingo. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And even though you've made a mistake in the past, can you let that go And can you realize you deserve a great life?
Yes.
Great. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Bingo. 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 Great. So I'm going to ask you to take in the feeling that you do deserve a great life. Bingo. Bingo. And again, your 8-year-old's never made a mistake ever, right? Okay. And can you realize just for a moment, your 8-year-old's made a mistake. You've made a mistake before.
Mm-hmm.
And your 8-year-old deserves a great life.
Yes.
And you still deserve a great life.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Bingo. All right. And so just for a moment, I'm going to ask you to picture moving forward. I want you to picture moving forward, seeing yourself walking around happy and feeling like a good person. And then, by the way, you're walking around, you're seeing yourself feeling like a good person, and you look at yourself and you realize you're not doing anything that needs to feel guilt, and there's no reason to have it, and you don't have any guilt. Bingo. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Bingo. And ask you to breathe that, bingo. Okay, and bingo. And if I ask you growing up, if there was a little part of you that liked to get in trouble a little bit.
Maybe when I was a teenager, my sister got so much attention that I think there was a part of me that, I don't know, wanted some attention.
Yep, there you go. Good. Yep. That's what's making the guilt stick, by the way, is that right there. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And I want you to think about a 30-year-old woman running around and getting in, like, creating problems and all of that, or a 40-year-old woman running around and creating problems, all that, or a 50-year-old woman running around creating problems and all that. How attractive is that?
It's not.
It's not, right? It's I'm going to ask you to breathe. And I'm going to ask you if you could let your teenager, troublesome, bad girl energy, if you could let that go completely.
Yes.
Bingo. And I'm going to ask you to breathe. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing to see like this 60-year-old who's running around and like causing problems and stuff like that? And
no, and embarrassing,
rebellious, yeah, right?
No.
Yes. So, are you willing to let that go?
Yes.
Great. So, I'm going to ask you to breathe. Good. There you go. There you go. Good. All right. So I'm going to ask you to breathe and notice the level in your neck, 0 to 10.
Well, it's cracking a lot and it's probably down to like just below a 1.
Okay. So, bingo. So that was about a 0.4, but just below a 1. Bingo. Okay, lower in it. Okay, 0.6. Right, lower. Bingo. All right. So give me 1 second. That. Bingo. And by the way, let's say your kids grow up and they decide the best way to get attention is to be rebellious and get in trouble. Would you be like, oh my God, this is so cool?
No.
But I mean, how much fun would that be, right?
Not fun at all.
Right? Not fun. Right? No. Could you think of better ways that they could get love and attention?
Yes.
A lot. And by the way, out of curiosity, if they think being rebellious and acting up and all of that is going to get them attention, even though, of course, you'll always love your kids, will that make it actually more challenging to love them while they're acting out and creating chaos?
Yes. I mean, I'll always love my kids, but it'll definitely cause some problems and be really hard. Take away some of the joy, you know.
Yeah, compared to if they're just being wonderful and loving and great and sweet, is it just easier to just love them? I mean, obviously you'll always love them, but it's just easier, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Great. And so just for a moment, I'm going to ask you to remind your inner self that it's actually just easier to love somebody when they're being sweet and wonderful and amazing. Like, it's just easier to love them and connect with them. And so, great. Again, so I'm going to ask you to picture yourself walking around happy and healthy and smiling, the biggest smile ever, and just feeling like a good person and getting a lot of love and connection from that. Good. Good, good. And I want you to look at the rebellious blah, blah, blah part of you. Blah, blah, blah. Can you see that old part?
Yeah.
And bingo. And great. Could you say goodbye to that part? Thank God.
Goodbye.
And let that part go.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you to breathe. Bingo. Great. Bingo. Bingo. And that. And by the way, if I can ask you right now, if I ask you to find the feeling of feeling not good enough right now, would you say it's more or less or the same?
Less.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's less. Yeah.
What's 0 to 10? What's your level of feeling not good enough?
Well, I think 3 just kind of came into my mind.
Right? That's a huge difference from where it was before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So I'm going to ask you just for a moment to breathe. All right, so let's go ahead and pause this because this is really profound when you bring all the pieces together. You know, if you think back to the very beginning when I first started working with her and there was this overwhelming feeling of feeling not good enough. And that's what was really connected. It said that was blocking everything. And when I asked her how much she had been feeling the feeling of not good enough, she said it was extremely high, just like off the charts high. And that was the same thing I got. I'm just really, really high. Now, if you think about where we are in this moment, she mentioned it jumped down to a level 3, which in itself is a huge accomplishment when you stop and think about it. And she also just mentioned that she spent most of her days trying to feel good enough. And this is something that I hear all of the time with people who have this pattern, is that they've spent years and years and years, even a lot of people spending years writing affirmations, I am good enough, making, you know, lists of all the reasons that they're good enough, and really doing that for years and years and years and years and years, and at the end of the day, still not feeling good enough. And so when I was talking about the brain being a lot different than people think, all of the time you'll see classes where people are writing affirmations and taking in, I am good enough, and I am good enough, and yet, unfortunately, still not getting the results that they want and really feeling that change. You know, we really have to do things in a different way to get a different result with the mind. And, you know, unfortunately, an example to really illustrate that is if we look at the late Robin Williams. I mean, he sought out treatment for many, many years for his mental health issues and happiness issues and all of that. You know, he was a longtime seeker. And as you can see, it didn't work for him. And here's this man who's well known, well adored, and has unlimited resources. And yet, it didn't work for him. And it's not because he didn't try. It's because, as a culture, we really don't understand the mind. And we have to do things in a different way if we want to get a different result. And this episode right here where I'm working with Jamie really illustrates that very clearly, that the mind works different, a lot different than most people think it does. And again, I see that all of the time. It's not just with the feelings of feeling not good enough. It's all kinds of feelings. You know, a lot of times the way that people are trying to change patterns isn't effective. You know, they'll stick with things like meditation and affirmations and things like that. Or even sometimes they'll do stuff like eye movements or body tapping or different things like that. Or even sometimes people will put them in parts, so to speak, or segment their stuff in their mind. And unfortunately, a lot of that stuff, it backfires. It doesn't work like you would need it to get real change, even though sometimes people will do these exercises and they'll feel better. So they'll feel emotionally like they feel better, but in another part of them doesn't. And what'll happen is a person will stay stuck in their lives and they won't understand why that is, because there's a disconnect. So it'll create like a disconnect in the mind. Or what'll happen is I've seen people before where they're like really depressed inside and they feel these deep feelings of depression, but they've done so much work with their mind that their conscious mind doesn't even see why anymore, because there's been such a disconnect by using certain methods. And so what will happen is that, you know, there's a deeper set of depression in there that a person can't really figure out why they're depressed, but they just feel it inside. Or they've done a lot of work and their life really isn't shifting, or their health really isn't shifting. And it's because those deeper things that would really need to change, they're not really changing. And so ultimately they end up stuck. And to be able to create the real change that they want, they need to make that change at a deeper level. And so the easiest way to kind of illustrate this, kind of a simple illustration, is that if you imagine for a moment there's a baby who's really upset and the baby's crying. And so the mother is stressed out, and she's been stressed out because this baby's been crying for a long period of time, and she's stressed and overwhelmed. Okay, now imagine if you give the mother earplugs and a body massage, and she can't hear the baby crying, and she's all relaxed. Well, likely, she'll feel better. But, of course, you still have the problem that the baby's crying, and that's still the problem, okay? Now, of course, you'd never want to do that, but what the illustration is, when you stop and think about it, is a lot of times the things that people are doing is they're trying to get their conscious mind to be less reactive by doing some eye movements or tappings or different things like that. And they're really just creating this disconnect, like between the mom and the baby, so the mom doesn't have to be stressed out while the baby's still crying. So, or in this situation with the brain, it would be that, you know, where the conscious mind can feel more relaxed about the whole situation, but meanwhile, that baby's still screaming, so to speak, in the subconscious mind. But because the conscious mind is disconnected from it, it can't even see it anymore. And so that, a lot of times, is what will come up when people are using a lot of different things with the mind, meditations, different things like that, that aren't geared for the specific change that they need to make in their mind to get results. And so I know this can all sound a bit complicated, and just to go back to simplicity, the easiest way to say it is that you'll want to make sure to just create an emotional shift. And so that said, what I want to do before we move on and complicate things even further is I want to give you the space to just kind of digest this information and to also bring in the feeling that you do deserve a great life. Now, with the next part of this session, we're going to work with the pattern of guilt and also working with the rest of the pain and really creating the rest of those shifts with her health as well. And so I'm going to go ahead and pause it right here and give you some space to go ahead and start bringing in that feeling of feeling deserving. So I'm not giving you too much information overload all at once. And then, of course, as you're seeing with Jamie, that feeling of guilt can actually block the feeling of deserving. And so on the next episode, we're going to go ahead and address those feelings of guilt that she has and create some other really powerful shifts that help her to shift the rest of her health issues that are occurring as well. And I can tell you this, is that on the next session, it's likely going to unfold a lot different than you think it would. So there's going to be some key insights coming up in the next episode next week. And so that said, I wish you a most wonderful rest of your day, and I look forward to connecting with you next week. I'll see you there. Thank you for listening to Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. I love connecting with you. And if you love the show or you learned something, please be sure to hit the subscribe button and make sure to share it with the people around you. The more you share it, the more we can change our world for the better. Also, I love hearing from you. If you'd like to send me any questions or comments, please visit me at brandygilmore.com/podcast. And if you're currently experiencing physical pain and would like to be a volunteer on the show, you can sign up there as well. Lastly, please remember, if you have any health issues, you won't want to avoid your doctor. Instead, you'll want to continue to work with them and make it your goal to blow their mind with what you are capable of with your mind. Thank you.